Turning now to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1 and verse 40. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1 and verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Well, our title is, When Spiritual Insight Dawns. And here is the first leper who Christ healed. In the record, there is no leper before this one. This is very near to the beginning of Christ's ministry. This is very soon, as we follow it, say, in Matthew's Gospel, it's evident that this is soon after the Sermon on the Mount. He comes down from the Mount, and he's been preaching in Galilee, and now he comes to Capernaum, which is in Galilee, and as he approaches Capernaum, so this leper approaches him. One leper, early in the ministry, pretty well soon after the Sermon on the Mount. 10 lepers were healed while Christ was on the way to Jerusalem, his final journey to be crucified and offered up for the sins of the world. But there's so much to be learned here. It's just, as I said, probably on the outskirts of the city of Capernaum that this healing took place. It's recorded in Matthew's Gospel, Mark's Gospel, and Luke's Gospel. And so it's very important and it's very significant. Now it's evident, putting the Gospel accounts together, that it was while Christ arrived at the city, probably Capernaum, on the fringe, on the outskirts of the city, outside the proper city wall, that this took place. And this has great significance. A great multitude followed him. And so there he is at the front of this vast throng, thousands of people, no doubt. He is leading the way, and a leper from one of the hovels, the tumble-down houses outside the city wall, came out to meet him, ran out and rushed out. Was now or never for this leper. His condition was pretty bad. It was an extreme case of leprosy. Luke, the physician, the doctor, in his gospel, tells us that it was all over him. He was altogether leprous. So it was a bad and probably near to terminal condition that he suffered from. But you see, a leper wasn't allowed to touch anybody. He wasn't allowed to approach people. He couldn't approach within so many yards and plead and beseech and fall at the feet of anyone. He had to stand clear. You know, I'm sure, that the leper in those days had to shout, unclean, unclean, toward anybody who approached them, so that they knew that he was a leper and they shouldn't go near him. There were two reasons why they wouldn't want to go near to a leper. One was a ceremonial reason, because in their culture, under the ancient law, the leper was unclean. If you touched him or went too near to him, so was the interpretation of this law in those days, then you had to go through cleansing ritual. But anyway, the leprosy of those days was quite a bit different from the leprosy that is described today. All the experts believe that. The leprosy of those days was probably infectious and contagious and very dangerous in that respect. So the lepers dwelt in an area of their own, outside the city, in houses up against the walls or further away, and they mustn't go into the city, and they mustn't approach anyone, and in fact, they had to throw stones to warn people that there were lepers in the vicinity. So you see, with this leper, he had to get at Christ before he came too near to the city. He wouldn't be allowed in himself with Christ, and he couldn't go anywhere near the crowd that followed him. So this was his opportunity. Somehow he had to anticipate this great throng of people so that he could get up as close as he dared to Christ and shout out his request and his prayer, because he longed to be healed. So the leprosy of those days, similar to that of today, but with features of its own. The word leper comes from the Greek, which means scaly. White scales covered the leper. Swellings of the skin and of the flesh, open running sores, as with leprosy known today, a loss of sensation. Hair, nails, fingers, toes could rot and drop off. Joints would be inflamed. Gums would shrink away and disappear. And the tongue very often, so the leper often couldn't speak in those days. And his face would be distorted and he'd be ulcerated and often partially paralyzed. So it was a terrible condition. Sometimes it would burn out and a leper, his leprosy would consume him and go. And he would be left nevertheless with the scars and the disabilities. But that was, it is thought, quite rare. So this leper, in a do-or-die moment, is going to target the Lord and run to him before the crowds swirl around him and make his plea and his application. I think it's likely that if this leper had not heard the Sermon on the Mount, because as long as they stood well clear of other people, that some of the lepers did get about and did follow the ministry of Christ and hear him, if he hadn't heard the Sermon on the Mount, which had not long since taken place, he would have had reports of it. He would have heard about it. The lepers would stand clear and people would enter in and out of the city and they would shout news and items to them. So I think he may have heard some of the things that Christ said. And Christ's words gave him hope. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Christ had said in the Sermon on the Mount, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Why, a leper was poor in spirit. A leper was an outcast. A leper had nothing at all. He'd never heard teaching like this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's me. That's us. This teacher who they say is the Messiah, the Redeemer sent from God, God and man, says such things. Blessed are they that mourn. They that mourn are going to get a blessing and are going to be helped. We mourn. We mourn our state, the shortness of our lives, our lack of any happiness and opportunity. We mourn our sin. Wonder if he saw the point. We mourn that we cannot go to synagogue or temple and worship because of our state and condition. We're not allowed to do that. We mourn, and we too want forgiveness and worship. Blessed are the meek. We're meek. We've been humbled to the dust. Why, surely this great preacher and this great healer of men and women, he has a heart for the lepers. Surely. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I wonder if he saw the point. Oh, to be forgiven my sin and healed in the body, and to be given new life and a relationship with God. I long to be a different person, a righteous person, and perhaps even a healed person. And so he goes to Christ and he approaches him, and from that safe, legal, proper distance, he calls out to him, and it's here in this verse. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Friends, let me begin with a few obvious comments by way of application. He knew he was a leper. He knew it. And he knew he had great need. But many of the lepers, they didn't think anything could be done about their condition. They didn't seem to think that Christ could help them. It never occurred to them to go to him. Some did, but most didn't. In spite of his preaching, in spite of his evident compassion and his massive healing of thousands of people with all sorts of dire conditions, they thought nothing can be done for us. It's inconceivable, but possibly some of them even liked being lepers. The community of the leper colony and the leper area, the group of hovels where they lived, some of them may have liked what sin was available to them. And this idea of a preacher of righteousness, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, this wasn't for them. But this man, he saw his condition, he wanted healing, he wanted Christ above all else, and he went to seek him and find him. But what about us? You're not a leper, but you are in the sight of God. All of us have been. We have sinful hearts. We are cut off from God. We do not love him. We do not want him. We do not worship him or seek after him. We do not have his help. We do not sense his presence. We are not interested in heaven. It seems we don't know that we are spiritual lepers. We never look at our hearts. We boast ourselves. Oh, no, I'm a good person, many people say. Oh, I've got a few flaws. A few flaws? A few little problems? When we're so selfish and we're so deceitful and there's so much wrong with us and we flare out in cruel tempers and all kinds of things, I don't want to depress you by going through all the sins of human beings and the lusts. In the sight of God, we're offensive and disgusting. There's so much the matter with us. We are so carnal, so earthbound, so earthly. Oh, dear friends, it's not only what we do, it's what we are. We are the kind of people we are, in our condition, in our hearts. And extraordinarily so proud are we. We don't know it, and we won't accept it. This man knew he was a leper. He knew he had great needs. The difference is, in these sophisticated days, we don't seem to know it. We don't seem to realize we're under the condemnation of God and we've got to stand before him. Oh, to be like that man, to have a realization and awareness of my true state and condition before the eternal God and to desire his compassion and his pardon and his love. Well, I think he knew something about the Sermon on the Mount that had just taken place. But look at the verse. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, pleading with him, calling out to him. This man was desperately anxious and very sincere. How serious he is. That's how we approach God. You can't approach God lightly. You won't be heard. You can't just flit into his presence and casually ask his help. You've got to come before him with great earnestness and humility. Humble yourself and ask him for forgiveness and for help. So he beseeches him. And also here it says, kneeling down to him. He did more than that, actually. Because in Luke's gospel it said he went on to prostrate himself before Christ, to fall on his face. He humbled himself as much as he possibly could. And that's what we have to do. It was as though this leper was saying by his very body language, I am just a loathsome, diseased leper. I am full of it. I am worth nothing. But oh God, oh Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, if only you would heal me and help me. And that's how we have to come to God. Not full of ourselves, pleased with ourselves. I've got a small problem. I need some forgiveness. I need some help. No, dear friends, the only way to get the help of God is to say, I am a worthless fool of a man or woman, and I've sinned away my life, and I've lived for this vain and empty world. And I've just taken material things, and I'm a narrow, poor, shallow little thing that has been satisfied with material and sensual things. And I never thought for a moment of the big things, my God, my Creator, the spiritual things, my soul and eternity. Oh, Lord, have mercy on such a fool and such a worthless person, and change my character and make me new and make me different. That's how we have to come. If you're not ready to come in that spirit, you won't be heard by God. If there's pride when you come and self-satisfaction, God cannot hear you. These events are illustrations to us. There came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, these are great words, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If thou wilt. He didn't say, if you can, if you will. He knew he could. The leper knew this was Christ, the Son of God. He believed it. That's evident. He didn't think for a moment there was something that Christ could not do. If you will, Lord, heal me. That was the only doubt in his mind. Would he? Was it his will? Would he hear his plaintive, pathetic cries and heal him? Was it his will? That's what I don't know, said the leper to himself. Will he? He can. Oh, he's already healed thousands. He's just, people have been flocking up to him. I've heard all about it. And people have been healed. I am near the city gates. I can look at a distance at the people going in and out. Even in Capernaum, I've known familiar cripples and people severely handicapped, and they've come back walking. He can do anything, but will he have mercy upon a leper? Those people who the rest of society calls loathsome, will he help me? Will he assist me? And he went with faith. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The Lord can undoubtedly do it. This is the question for us. Not can Christ change my life? Can he forgive me? Can he give me a new nature and a new character? Can he deal with my sin propensity, my inclination to sin away my life and my years? Can he change me? Can he make me a better person? It isn't that. It's will he. If I call out to him, Lord, forgive me. Lord, change me. Lord, repair and restore me. Will he? Why should he help me? Why should he deal with me? That's the great question. Not can he, but will he? Well, he will. If we come, and if we're sincere, and if we ask first for forgiveness of sin, the sin problem must be dealt with first, and then the restoration and repair job comes next, to be forgiven, to be transformed. Of course, to Christ it's done in the same act of conversion. But it's will he? And that's the question which some of you have. I know. You say, I've prayed for the forgiveness of God, and I've trusted in Christ, and I've asked for new life and character. But will he hear me? Why should he? Well, of course, he's promised to. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, he says. That's an absolute promise. And if you come sincerely, and you're really repentant, and you want your life to be changed by him altogether, he will respond to you, and he will hear you. The leper didn't know. He said, will he? He can, but will he? Listen to a leper. I haven't heard that he's healed a leper before. Will he heal me? And he believes in his power, and he goes for help. But you see, for us, it's easier. The centuries have passed. Millions of people have come to Jesus Christ. Now it's a well-known fact that whoever goes on his knees and prays for forgiveness and means it and recognizes he's a sinner and realizes that it is only Christ that can save him, He's the one who's come as Saviour and suffered and died on a cross to bear our punishment in our place. It's well known that millions of people have found that Christ has heard and answered their prayer. You may know people who have. You may have a friend, maybe who's brought you into this place even tonight, who said to you, I came to Christ and I handed my life to him and I repented of all my sin and I trusted him alone and he came to me and he changed me and he made me new and I know it and you've heard it. You may know somebody who was, well, the very worst kind of person you could possibly know, who had done everything which would be deeply offensive to God and man. You may know the worst of the worst who's come to Christ and been changed. Isn't it so much easier for you to believe than that leper who'd never seen another leper or heard of another leper being healed in that early stage of the ministry of Christ? And yet we're surrounded by the evidence of Christ's power and his mercy and his compassion and his readiness to heal. Well, we ought to be able to believe and to come to him, and it's a matter of whether we will, not if he will. It's a matter of whether we will accept our condition and recognize it and come to Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, look at this verse again. There came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Oh, to be clean of this leprosy. But how can it be done? I look at my deformed fingers and limbs and see the raw flesh and the scales. I see all the evidence of this terrible disease and condition. How can it be done? Oh, but I've seen it, he thinks to himself. That man who hobbled out of the gates of Capernaum to go to where Christ was healing one morning, and his one leg was withered, it was scarcely there. And to my astonishment, I looked down from the hillside where I was spying on this procession, and he had a perfect limb where that withered, paralyzed stump had been. He can not just heal, but he can restore, make a person whole. This has never been seen before, never been seen since. The healing power of Christ. Surely he can heal even my limbs and my body. He can do this. He can make me clean, flesh of a child, whole, restore my youth to me again and my vigor. And he went and he pleaded with him and gave himself to him. Here's the application, dear friends. You go to Christ. He can change you in ways you can scarcely imagine. He takes a mind. Here's the mind that we have before we're converted to Christ. Maybe it's the mind of a gossip, always looking for trouble, always trying to hurt and discredit someone, always complaining, doing down, making up tales. Can such a mind, so polluted with harm and spite and fiction and falsehood, can it be changed? Just like the leper could be changed. The mind can be purged. The person can get a new start and a new integrity. Person who's violent, can that person be helped? Can somehow that acid that runs in the veins, as it were, can it be removed and the person have a better spirit and a calmer, kinder person? Yes, the person can be changed, just like the leper could be changed. Every sin you mention, sins of lust, sins of hate, all these things, the pride. How can pride be washed away? Oh, my pride, somebody may say. I can see what it's doing to me. I can't get rid of it. It drives my life. People hate me for it. You can be cleansed. The pride can be taken away and you can be made new. And I've seen it in so many people, even in my lifetime, who've come to Jesus Christ, and that pride has been taken away. A new person has come about. Somebody humble, interested in others, much more interested in others than they are in themselves. These are wonderful, wonderful things, friends. And he can cleanse the leper, and he can cleanse us. It seems impossible, but he has all the power to make new lives. And not only does he cleanse us morally, mentally, but he cleanses us also spiritually, so that we can relate to God. I can be accepted by God. I, a lost sinner, can be accepted by God as though I've never sinned, and rewarded by him and blessed by him as though I had done such things as deserve that blessing. Yes, Christ is my representative. He bore the punishment of sin for all who would come to him. On Calvary's cross, he cried out to his Father, "Punish me instead of them." It was just how they'd prearranged it. And he took our punishment and offered up his perfections on our behalf. Oh, dear friends, what a Saviour in Jesus Christ who can change us all. I want you to take you on to verse 41 just briefly. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, "I will, be thou clean." Jesus Christ moved with compassion at this poor man and his state and condition. It is astonishing that he has compassion for us. Our problem isn't leprosy consuming us. Our problem is our fault, our sin, our rottenness, our behavior, our thought life. Our problem is of our own making. And yet Christ has compassion for us. Compassion because he can see what we're doing to ourselves. He can see how we've ruined our lives. He can see how we're bringing ourselves to everlasting punishment. And he has compassion even on the unlovely us. Even on sinners, that's the compassion of Christ. So much compassion that even before we were born, he determined in heaven, centuries ago, before time began, to come down and take our place and die in our stead and bear away our punishment. Such compassion, it should melt every heart, dear friends, the compassion of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And look what he does here in this 41st verse. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand. He had to approach him. There would have been the legal distance, the legal gap. Then he stretched forth his hand and he touched him. There was a gasp, I'm sure. He has touched a leper. Nobody touched a leper. This man, the Messiah, the great preacher, the healer, surely God has come in accordance with all the ancient promises and prophecies. And he touched the leper. What an astonishing thing to do. Of course, he's God. He can touch the leper without suffering defilement, without any fear of contamination. But why does he touch the leper? What a provocative thing to do. Something that would shock and amaze people. He touched him to signify he identified with him. He identified with us. He came and took our place, went on the cross for us, entered into the human race to be our representative. He touched him to identify. He touched him to indicate his care for him. I will hear you. I will take care of you. I will look after you. Oh, for Christ to touch our lives and take care of us. He touched him to signify responsibility for the leper. I will take responsibility for you. I will bear away your sin because you trust me. I will make you whole. He touched him to indicate his acceptance of him. You are mine. I accept you. I am yours and you are mine from now on. That's an extraordinary thing to do. Oh, that Christ would touch us and make us his own and take responsibility for us so that we are his and he is ours now and eternally. And in verse 41, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. Oh, sometimes I wish we could hear it. People come to Christ, repent of their sins, give him their lives, and they say, Lord, forgive me and heal me and make me thine own. And he says, but we don't hear it. He says, I will. It almost re-echoes round the heavens. I will. There'll be some people in this church even this evening, if you come to Christ sincerely, that I will sound in heaven, and he will keep his word, and he will bless you and forgive you and change you and bring you to himself, and you'll know him and you'll walk with him. Oh, dear friends, the compassion of Jesus Christ. See the leper. See him, friends. A new lifestyle ahead of him. Of course, there's a spiritual side. He would love Christ. He would love him. He would pray through him to God. But even his earthly lifestyle, now he could work. He could move into the city. He could go and relate to his family, who he hadn't been able to hold and speak to closely for years. He could do all these things. Life was altogether different. You come to Christ, your life will be so different. Your motives, your values, you'll know the Lord, you'll pray to him, you'll prove him. Life will be so different. Before conversion, we are so like that leper. The leper lost his feeling, sometimes in a limb, sometimes in all limbs. And we lose feeling. Away from God, living in this world, we lose any sense of God, any interest in God, any interest in the real purpose. Well, I've been talking about all that. Just like the leper, we're numbed and insensitive in spiritual things, in the soul. And the leper, he could only look forward to the disease getting worse. And so with us, before we're converted to Christ, our character starts bad and it gets worse as life goes on. Extra sins, new hardness, new meanness, new selfishness, more and more. It gets so much worse. Isolated, the leper isolated from society, only mixing with fellow lepers. And we're isolated from God. We're so like those lepers. If only we could see it. With the leprosy gone, he was so changed. Converted to Christ, you're so different. There's a gentleness comes into you, and a kindness comes into you, and a sensitivity. And the proudest person in the world suddenly becomes teachable. And you can reason with him, and he's open to you and to correction. And a new generosity, and a new purity, and a new honesty, and a new power over sin. Oh, that God would do these things in your life, dear friend. Well, our time is out. Christ said to the man, don't tell anybody. Just go to Jerusalem. Make your trip to Jerusalem, just as the ancient law prescribes, and show yourself to the priest, and he will certify you clean. But the man couldn't contain himself. And we don't blame him. And in our King James Version, it tells us that he blazed it abroad. He told everyone. You were in that leper colony, they would say to him. You don't look like a leper. I'm clean. Jesus of Nazareth, who is the Messiah, he made me whole and changed me. Why, he couldn't help himself. He even disobeyed the Lord. So full of he was of joy. So it is with us. You're converted. You'll want everybody to know it. You're changed and you've found the Lord. You'll want to tell as many people as you possibly can. The most extraordinary thing will have happened in your life, and you will want to give him all the glory. Well, are you one of those who will say to me, but I've tried. I've asked the Lord for conversion. I've repented of my sin and nothing has happened. Oh, but dear friends, if you were sincere, you must find him. Perhaps you only confess some of your sin and not all of it. Perhaps when you gave yourself to him, you didn't give yourself to him wholly. You held something back for yourself. You said, I'm going to give myself to Christ, but I'll keep this ambition and this ambition, these things that will make me look good and make me famous or make me rich. I'll keep those. No, you give all of yourself to him and you put yourself in his hands and your life and you ask him to change you and to bless you. And if you're sincere, he will, dear friends. He will come to any of us to help you, to guide you, but he will bless you. And his voice will resound in the heavenly places, be thou clean, and you will be a new person. Let's pray together. O God, our gracious Heavenly Father, look upon us this night, we ask. O Lord, make it impossible for us to dismiss these things. Make the world so small in our estimation. Help us to see through the vanities of materialism and atheism and earthly things entirely. O Lord, bless us, we pray, and move in our hearts. Convict us of our need and of our sin, and bring us to Christ and his wonderful compassion and mighty power. We ask these things in the name of our Saviour, for his sake. Amen.